That is some terrifying alien shit right there.
Can you please explain to the listeners, what are you watching right now?
I'd rather not.
Hi there. This is Alex speaking to you from the editing room. I just wanted to let you know that the audio quality of this episode is not quite up to our usual standards. We were three people sitting around one mic talking, and that is not the optimal solution. But the topic is hilarious and the conversation was amazing, so we're publishing this episode anyway. We hope you enjoyed, and next week we're going to sound much better.
Welcome to Electric Enthusiasm, the podcast where we celebrate unironic enthusiasm. You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals. Hello, my name is Katie Fogel.
And I am Alexander Field, but I am so excited to get into some animal sex.
Yeah! Get into it. Get into it. Mm-hmm. Y'all would like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, my name's Joe. I'm a former guest on this wonderful podcast.
Yeah, our first guest that was good enough to actually my bag.
Those all really?
They all saw.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our first returning guest.
Yes.
And we should also say that this is a very special episode of Electric Enthusiasm, because if you're not watching this on YouTube, we're actually in the same room together.
Oh my God! So I imagine this is going to be the most difficult audio to edit of all time.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. I'm so excited.
Let's do it.
So, Alex, can you please tell us how this works?
Yes! In each episode, one of us presents a topic that they know a lot about, but the other host does not, and then tries their little best to spread that enthusiasm to the other host and to you, the listener. Of course, this episode is going to be completely different anyway! We're already blowing up the concept completely. Sometimes we get someone like today!
Yeah.
We're super excited about something that one of us that's new knows nothing about, and the other one new knows a lot about.
Too much, honestly, yeah. Too much. And then we have the moment of meta, where we nerd out about enthusiasm itself and talk about why it matters and how you can live a more enthusiastic life.
Because we think the world needs more enthusiasm. And you should share your enthusiasm with us on our website, electricenthusiasm.com, or our Instagram, @electricenthusiasm. Tell us what you're excited about these days. You could even...
plain old send us an email at electricenthusiasm. Nope, yep. Hello at electricenthusiasm.
There we go.
I never say that bit.
Nope. I thought I'd leave it up to you. What are we talking about today, Kate?
Today we are talking about something that I have invested a lot of brain space into for absolutely no reason. We're talking about animal mating habits because I know so many and I don't know why. It's a topic of conversation that I bring up at random moments. My favorite one recently was at a pizza restaurant with my dance partner Oresti and some very new friends. I had never really hung out with them that much before. And Oresti was like, hey, Katie, do the animal mating habits thing. That's just hilarious. And basically goaded me into sharing all of my knowledge, which is a lot, apparently.
How else are you going to break the ice with new people, if not by talking about animals having sex, right?
It's just so fun.
What other ways are there?
So I thought today we are going to do something slightly different. We are going to do a game show. This is the actually version of Electric Enthusiasm. For those of you who don't know, actually is a YouTube game show. I think it's hilarious, in which the host will say a sentence in which one thing is incorrect, and the guests have to correct me by saying, actually. So, for example, this is one that I checked with Yo earlier. The beta male cuttlefish will camouflage themselves as rocks or other ocean detritus to sneak into the alpha male's harems so he can mate with the females. And then if you correct me, you would say...
The male cuttlefish actually disguises himself as a female cuttlefish to kind of sneak in.
Boom! 1 point for Joe.
Yay!
That's some drag right there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's drag. That's amazing.
Yes. And the common term for this is the sneaky male cuttlefish.
Yes. But they are very sneaky.
Very sneaky.
Yes. We have them at the place where I work. They're extremely sneaky.
Do they have actual like little wigs and makeup? Or
well, do you know what they do? They change color.
They do.
It's so awesome.
And they will also hide their male tentacles to disguise themselves more effectively as a female. So they tuck. Yeah. They don't wear a wig, but they will tuck.
Yeah, they do a male tuck.
That's hilarious.
I did not know that.
That's how the game works.
Okay.
I will say something incorrect. And you guys have to correct me by saying, Actually.
Okay, two questions. Are there points?
Yes, I will be keeping track of the points.
I cannot win. Second question, will we get sued?
I don't think so. This is an homage to the show.
Okay, good.
Okay, are you guys ready for the first one?
Absolutely not. Let's go.
I have tried to avoid some marine animals, so I figured that's where your advantage might be.
Come on.
But also, there are some really great animals in the ocean. So I've got, there are four potential points to win here, and then we have two bonus points for the picture round.
Ooh.
All right.
I love that you're showing pictures on a podcast.
We're going to put those in the script and refer to Exhibit A, Exhibit B.
They will be.
Go look at them there.
Exactly.
Awesome.
On electricenthusiasm.com.
Okay, are you ready for round one?
Yes.
Male giraffes will sniff the poop of the female to in order to determine if she is ovulating before having sex.
Well, actually.
Actually, no. The male giraffe will taste the piss of the female
giraffe. Oh my god. Are you ready to lose, Alex?
I'm so ready. I'm losing already.
So the reason why they do this is because mating for giraffes is quite a perilous thing. You have to get up there. It's quite dangerous. And so they are only going to proceed with the action if they have a very high chance of fertilizing the female. Therefore, they ain't going to bother unless she's ovulating. And the only way to check that is to literally encourage her to pee.
Yeah.
So they will often bump their chest against the female's rump to encourage her to pee. If she likes him, she'll pee. And then he will drink it and have a taste. And he'll taste for the chemicals.
And then as a bonus info, so if there's two males and she pees and they kind of drink the piss and then kind of go, whoop, we're ready. And then two male, what then happens? They have to fight. So the male starts fighting. And you know, the males fight with their long throat and their heads. And then the female kind of stands there going, this is taking too long. And they piss off. And then when one
piss off,
and
then
piss off, you see what happens. And then when the males are kind of done and one male standing there, oh, I won. And then they look around and then they go, huh?
A question. Do we know what they're tasting for? This is a lovely bouquet. I'm getting hints of raspberries.
Oh,
and
God. If I remember correctly, it's the progesterone in the urine.
Okay, next question. What does that taste like?
Do you know what, Alexander? Let's go to Copenhagen soon.
Excuse me, could we please have just a tiny glass of
chilled. Technically, you need two. You need one from giraffe that's not ovulating.
Oh,
and
God.
It is ovulating. Because you need to taste the difference.
Yeah. Can I just, by the way?
Yes.
This is how doctors used to test their human patients for diabetes.
Because if you would have tested it.
Exactly.
Ah.
Just saying.
Oh, God.
This is not...
I'm so happy I'm not a doctor.
Exactly.
You're an animal doctor in this kind of
thing. Well, no, I'm not, but that's fine.
No.
She's laughing.
No, she's already laughing. Hold on.
Question two. Barnacles have the largest penis to body ratio in the entire animal kingdom, with their penises being 4 times larger than their actual bodies.
Well, actually, it's probably like 8 times something. It is true.
Yeah, Alex!
I knew something!
But the more exciting thing, I'm going to move this somewhere else where you can't
barnacles.
See.
Barnacles, right?
Punyum.
The studs of the animal kingdom.
It's because they are stuck to a rock. So how else are they going to, they can't travel. So they have to have their penis do the traveling for them.
Yeah.
But
it's weird. Cock stuck on a rock.
Yeah. Between a rock and a hard place.
Oh, dear Lord.
But, so basically, I know all these facts just because. And as part of the show, I want to make sure that you, the viewer, can fact check me if you would like to.
Oh, yes.
So I needed to find sources for all of the random bits of knowledge in my brain. And in doing so, I found a source about the barnacles having a penis 8 times larger than their bodies. And I found this sentence, which I'm now going to make Alex read.
Mm-hmm. How, you might ask, does one measure the penis of a barnacle? I will tell you. To measure the relaxed penis, Neufeld just pulled it out. And assessed it under a microscope. I kind of see where this is going.
Yeah.
And assessed it under a microscope to measure one in all its fully extended glory. He needed the following contraption: the system of pulleys, which controls an open bottle, which leads to a rubber tube, which is connected to a hypodermic needle, which feeds into a capillary tube, which is glued to the base of a severed barnacle penis.
Oh no!
All of these elements are full of seawater. By using the pulleys to raise and lower the bottle, you can control the pressure in the needle and carefully pump a specific amount of water into the penis. The team describes it as a gravity-fed pressure system for inflation. Oh. It's as if Rube Goldberg built a flying device. Okay.
Does the listeners know what a flopping device is?
Would you like to explain?
Do you know what a flopper is?
If your pillow has deflated and somebody comes
Of course. Yeah, of course. We'll stay with the pillow.
Can I just say that is some Ig Nobel Prize worthy material right there. That did not get him an Ig Nobel Prize. I don't know why it would.
I mean,
that's amazing. Maybe, when was this?
Do
we know? No, we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it was in my sources. Let me pull up. No, not that one. That's the crickets.
How do you wake up in the morning and go, today I'm going to construct a device for inflating barnacle penises?
Yeah,
it's going to be a good day.
It's going to be a wonderful day.
The article that I read is from 2013.
Okay.
But I don't know when the specific study was.
Oh, God. But it's still wonderful.
2013. References 2013.
So cool. So cool. Not weird at all.
No, not at all.
Damn, I need to get weirder. Okay, cool. Also, we're tied. Very exciting.
Yes.
This one I feel like is a little bit in your category. I feel like you're probably going to know this one. But it's also one of my favorites.
Pressure. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Speaking of pressure, we're going underwater. We're going to the deep sea.
Okay.
As you know, the anglerfish. Yeah, she knows this one.
Live
in the deepest, darkest pits of the ocean. And it's really hard to find a date down there. So once a female and a male find each other, they stay together forever by holding hands. Well, fits.
Actually. It's called the clingy boyfriend for a reason. So actually, the male sinks its teeth into the female, and the female absorbs the whole male.
Mm-hmm.
They merge. She absorbs him, and that's it.
That's so romantic.
So the female, well, you're picturing your mind of an anglerfish, right? Big, scary teeth.
With a lantern hanging off that
the Finding Nemo scary creature.
Yeah.
That's exclusively the females.
Uh-huh.
The males are pathetic little trimpy things.
Yeah.
They don't really have a digestive system. They're about like these big. They're really teeny tiny.
Huh.
And their whole purpose in life is just to smell out a female. But the only thing, they can't survive very long without one.
No.
So when they find a female, they bite into her, and she releases an enzyme and literally dissolves their body until all they are left is a pair of gonads for her to use at her convenience.
Yes.
And here's the best part about it. Let's say you find a female who already has a pair of gonads. That ain't going to stop you.
No.
So you can find large female anglerfish with multiple pairs of gonads because she's found many males.
Yes.
Basically a harem.
Exactly.
Built-in
harem. It's actually a harem of parasites.
So yeah.
The only thing that he does or is a parasite.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yes.
All right. One more point.
Just a by the way here, because I like the Jordan Peterson. He looked to the lobsters, like his model of, you know, hierarchy. So natural. And it's funny how you never look to the angler fish,
really,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very excited for this one because I have a video I can show you guys for what actually happens. Okay. Female ducks have star-shaped vaginas with 5 different endpoints.
Actually, no. It's spiral-formed, as far as I remember, because the penis of the male duck is kind of
corkscrew.
Yeah, it's kind of a corkscrew thing. Yeah. So the female duck have a spiral vagina, so it can't kind of, because we spoke about honors the last time. So the assholes of the sea. So the ducks, they're the rapists of the sea pond. I would kind of call it.
It is true.
Yes.
And for your visual enjoyment, Alex. This is a female duck vagina.
Yeah.
Then it's basically like corkscrew.
But no. That's what the male penis does.
Look.
That is some terrifying alien shit right there.
Can you please explain to the listeners, what are you watching right now?
I'd rather not. But there is this really wormy looking tube extending from a duck and just wriggling its way into the world in search of slow down 10 times.
So is 10 times slower. It's faster.
It's
like a projectile.
That's the stuff horror movies made of.
Okay.
I'm not even kidding.
For a better...
We're going to link this to this in the materials. Do not watch. Do not.
No.
If you value your sleep and your senses.
It's fascinating. Yeah. Male ducks are incredibly sexually aggressive. And so female ducks have a goal to try and prevent that as much as possible, which is basically instituted a sexual arms race where every time the female duck evolves something to try and stop being raped, the male duck's like, I will find a way. So female ducks have vaginas that corkscrew. And very fascinatingly, male ducks have corkscrew penises that project out the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
They do have false endings, though. Female ducks also have a false ending to their vagina.
They trick.
To try and trick the male duck. Oh, my
God.
Have
you ever watched this in nature?
I have. This very weekend, we were walking by a lake, and we saw one duck on top of another duck, and it was not a fun situation.
It's not
fun at all. Nobody was having fun there. And there were two other male ducks.
They just wait.
Up around.
Yeah. It's a gangbang.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's non-consent.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. We're at the end of the unactually questions round. We're going on to pictures.
3-1.
We have two pictures. If Alex gets both of the pictures correct,
do you feel the tension?
It's a tie.
I can feel it.
So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to show you the photo, and independently, you're both going to tell me what you think is happening and why this is an interesting animal mating behavior.
Okay.
And whoever gets closest gets the point.
So exhibit A, for those of you following this on the podcast, not on YouTube.
Exhibit A, the Indian tree cricket.
There is an insect in a hole in a leaf. That's all. There's nothing sexual going on. That do you have a? Do you have a?
My brain is just going. What? Okay, so there's only one animal. We're looking at one animal. Yeah,
one person can have sex alone, even one insect.
But that's true.
Don't judge.
A lot of animals have sex alone. Is it something with the wings? What are we not, why are we not including this? And what is that? Did she eat?
I would like to hear both of your guesses. What is happening in this picture?
Okay, you go first.
Okay, that bug is trying to impress a potential mate by eating the biggest possible hole in a leaf.
Okay.
That's what I think.
We got that.
I think there's either some cannibalism going on, or using the leaf as wings.
Okay. I'm going to give the point to Alex here.
Oh, good.
So yes! This is the Indian tree cricket.
Uh-huh.
The way he impresses mates is by chirping. The loudest chirp gets the mate.
Okay, so it's not the largest hole in the leaf.
But he makes this hole. Uh-huh. He eats this hole in the leaf to act as amplification.
Awesome.
Isn't it so cool? So like there's this a whole debate right now about these tree crickets where it's like, are they tricking the female into mating with them? Or is it kind of like the sneaky male cuttlefish where the females want to mate with these creatures because the whole goal of impressing the woman is to like, I can do this thing so we'll be able to pass on our genetics. So typically it was always the crickets that were able to just chirp the loudest without any tools. But this guy is really fucking smart. And they've realized that by eating a small hole into a leaf and a particular size of leaf, a particular size of hole, they can amplify their chirps louder than any natural male. Meaning that,
that's awesome.
And then, super cool, I mean, kind of weird that they did this, scientists, what's wrong with you? they discovered that one of the ways you can tell if a female is really impressed with a male cricket is by how long they mate with the cricket. So sometimes when a female is looking for a cricket, she's looking for a while, her standards kind of drop. And you can tell she's not that into it because it lasts very short. She just fucks off. But she really is into the guy. She'll stick around. She'll like, they'll have a session together. And so the scientists timed how long So they call this a baffle, using the leaf to aquify this life. Mm-hmm. The females who found the males who were using baffles got the same length of mating time as those who were naturally very loud, which means the ladies were into it. They were like, oh, look at you using a leaf to be loud. Baby.
Oh. And do we know, is it the size of the hole in the leaf or is it the shape of the hole in the leaf?
It also helps how they, like, yeah, which leaf they, okay, use. Yep. And it's like, it's just, it's very fucking clever. This dumb little bug was, yep, like, hey, I've discovered how to make myself loud.
Yep.
That's amazing. Awesome. That's beyond amazing.
Yes, that is.
That was my favorite one. Yeah. Okay, and then this one's just weird. What is happening in this image?
So there's a bug.
It's a wasp.
Dragonfly kind of looking
it's
thing.
It's a wasp, and a hammer orchid.
So is, you want to?
No, go ahead.
Okay, so has the orchid simulated a female wasp, mm-hmm, in order to trick the male wasp into meeting with it to pollinize it?
That's one guess.
But the thing is, that would be my guess, because either it's a trick, so the orchid captures the wasp, or the wasp uses the orchid to... it would be my guess. Can we guess together?
Yeah. You're both correct.
Awesome!
So this section of the hammer orchid here is also sometimes called the warty hammer orchid. Mm-hmm. Is very, very sexy. It looks a lot like the female of the species. Yeah. And that's essentially what happens. As the male wasp lands on that aspect, because they're beating their wings, it causes an updraft and they smack into the pollen sac and they use as a pollinator. But really interestingly, this orchid has to plan its bloom cycle with the wasp's mating cycles.
Of course.
So the wasp is smashed into the pollen carriers. Like, against his will, yeah. Come here, have sex, slam! Now fly off and pollinate something
nothing
else.
Nothing is for free, Alex, come on.
But my favorite thing, this is from Green Earth, which is a BBC show, we'll put this in the show notes, but there's a really great shot that they have, where is this one here? This is the female of the species, that is the plant, and you can watch as the male flies right on past the actual female of his species to mate with the plant, because the plant is sexier.
Yeah.
God, it's so good looking, that plant.
It's such a beautiful plant.
There he comes. He's coming in for a landing. Landed. Yeah.
Oh, I probably feel bad for the female, though.
By the time
she got some action.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, okay, good.
So I'm going to say you got both picture rounds right, which means you now have 3 points. However, you got also one of the picture rounds right, which means you now have 4 points.
Yay! Go on!
Well, everyone kind of saw that one coming.
Yeah,
well,
I'm not surprised.
No, yeah.
I did not get blown out of the water. I turned that into a moral victory.
You held your own.
Yes,
you
did.
Held your
you
own.
Did. You did.
Very impressed.
That's true. Got into animal sex in a good way.
Yo, you have some animal mating. Do you want to do it in the format of actually, or do you want to just tell us cool things?
No, but the thing is, we did the game. I won. We leave it at
that. We could go a few more rounds.
No, it's just, I was thinking about, we're talking about sounds, and one thing that kind of blew my mind is that there is a small animal called the water boatman. Mm-hmm. And they make the loudest sound in the animal kingdom. So thinking about your crickets. So if we can kind of put a photo of the water boatman, so they cut
Exhibit C.
Yeah, Exhibit C. So they rub their love organs across their rigid abdomen.
Don't we all?
In the morning, we kind of go there. And they make the sound of 99.2 decibels.
Whoa!
Yeah.
And those things are tiny.
And they're tiny, tiny, tiny. So that's the equivalent of a freight train going past you. Come on, imagine.
That's insane. That's tiny. They're so how?
They're so tiny. And still, they make the loudest sound in the animal kingdom when they try to attract the female.
Can I say, it's a good thing they haven't figured out the leaf trick. That will blow some
eardrums. Imagine if one of them mated with that cricket. my God.
Yeah.
Okay, no. We would just die in that sense. So, okay. And then I have a lot, but one, so, which I really found interesting. So we all know clownfish, yeah?
Yes.
Sure.
Finding Nemo. They're cute. Nah, nah, nah.
Oh, I think I know this one.
But did you know that?
Possibly.
Maybe we don't know, that they're all born males, yeah? So they fight their way through the system, yeah? So they fight each other on speed and size and everything, and then whoever males wins turns into one female.
Only the strongest
can be female. And the smartest,
yep,
can be female. And then she only mates with the second male. None other. That's it.
Power.
That's smart.
Power couple.
That's a power couple.
That's a power couple right there.
Yeah.
So you're saying in Finding Nemo, what actually should have happened?
Yes. So there's a lot of things about Finding Nemo that if you get into it, it's so not true. So yeah. So the clownfish? No. He would have.
In Finding Nemo, yeah, what would happen is Marlin. Would, after his partner passes,
yeah,
as the next alpha male in line, because he mated with her to produce Nemo, he would then become a female.
Yes. Okay.
The trans allegory was really left out of Finding Nemo.
It's the transgender ideological leftist agenda. even creeping into our Pixar movies. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
I had so many questions.
But yes.
The main one is how?
How?
Yeah. I mean, do they have both sets of genitalia, or do they grow that as they change sex, or?
That's a good question.
Okay.
Do you know?
Yes. So once the alpha female passes, it sparks a massive release of hormones in the next line, male in line. And they basically go through puberty.
Got it.
And it's quite a efficient process because of the sheer amount of hormones then pumped into their bodies.
Okay,
can we then just the last one? Yeah.
No. We got plenty of time.
So I read up on this because I've heard about it and I really didn't know the facts, or I read up. So the new Mexican whiptail lizard. Have you heard about this?
No.
Okay. So it's a hybrid of two lizards, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So the hybrid have doubled the chromosomes. Hang on. Have you ever heard about this?
No.
I have not. Okay. They have doubled the chromosomes, yeah? So they don't need males to reproduce. They can reproduce themselves. Yeah?
Yes.
They just do everything internally because they have doubled the chromosomes, yeah? Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, because we're talking about animal sex, is so they don't need the males to reproduce. But they do have simulated sex, just for the fun of it.
That's amazing.
And that's rare in the animal kingdom, just to have sex for fun.
Yeah.
Besides the bonobos.
Bonobos.
But they're rare also. So this, the new Mexican whiptail lizard, they have simulated sex. And scientists have discovered that when they have simulated sex, they have more babies than the ones that not have simulated sex.
So they have simulated sex with other female.
Just sort of fun of it.
Okay.
Why not?
That's so cool.
But that's the only animal I've found that have the double chromosome.
Mm, yeah, I'm not aware of that.
And my mind kind of went, how does that?
Weird.
Which is insane.
Yes. Yes. Animal sex is awesome. Between animals.
I was trying to think the other day, why do I find this stuff so fascinating? And I think it's because it's something that, like, has to happen, right? In order for the species community, you have to have a mating ritual of some kind. And they're always very specific to the environment and the species. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the female anglerfish is a fantastic example of, like, the environment you're in has really forced your hand here, right? You just, the likelihood of you running into someone of the opposite gender, of the opposite sex, of the same species in the deepest pits of the ocean is basically zero. Mm-hmm. So you do need to have them kind of like on you at all times, clingy boyfriend style, right?
Yes.
And so I just find it so fascinating to see how like each individual species has come up with a solution to these really fucking weird problems. And I find it so fascinating. And it also makes everything humans do seem really vanilla.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And there's no kinky sex that can like wake me out anymore. So I'm just like, they drink pee.
Yes.
Like they willingly drink pee. And I know humans do that too. I'm sure there's someone out there. No kink shaming here on this podcast.
No, not at all.
No.
But yeah.
Fascinating. Yeah. There is animal sex with humans.
Yeah.
Where are we going?
We met Dan Savage did a talk about this.
Yes, I know. I've heard it.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And he had a guest on his radio program with sex with his horse.
Yeah.
He even married his horse. And they talk about consent.
Yeah.
And the guy says, well, you know, if you do anything to the back end of a horse that it doesn't want you to do, the horse has ways of letting you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
True. But true. Still, okay.
Yeah. Have you heard this?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so they're talking about all of this, and Dan Savage is trying to keep an open mind about this guy who has sex with a horse. And then at the end of it occurs to him, there's a question that he hasn't asked, which is, you know, is this a boy horse or a girl horse? And it becomes very quiet on the end of the telephone line. And the guy says, I am not a homosexual.
Bestiality is one thing, but not homosexuality.
Yes, exactly. Oh, as God, like the worst
and
thing about him.
I encourage all the listeners to go and listen to Dan Savage's Lovecast. I mean, it's one.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, like, my thing when it comes to like specific sexual practices that are traditional to a culture is consent is very important. Yes, obviously. But also consent is part of the sexual practices in our part of the world, right? Consent culture doesn't exist in all parts of the world in the same way. And I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just saying traditions and cultures are different. And sometimes it's fascinating to see what it's like. There is a sexologist on YouTube called Dr. Lindsay Doe. And she does short little documentaries about sex education and stuff. And she talked about the most sexually liberated culture in the world and the most sexually repressed culture in the world, and like discussed what their differences are like and how like we can't really judge them from our perspective because we have no idea. We don't know. We don't understand the sexual, like there's this whole, one of the sexually liberated cultures is a particular tradition where boys going through the coming of age ritual gets a very shallow cut placed from the nape of their neck all the way down to the base of their penis. And part of the coming of age is that they have sex with older women who teach them how to pleasure a woman, how to have sex. And the ritual is complete when using her vagina, she scrubs the scab off his body. And like, that's a sexual practice that is done. And like, is it fully consensual? Like he's a, you know, 15-year-old boy and she's an older woman, but this is part of their culture and it's how they educate their young. It's a deep part of the education process of that tribe. Is that 100% what I would want to have done with me? No. Don't like the idea of rubbing my ball bone on a little kid. But that's me. And I'm okay with that happening for somebody else.
Interesting. Speaking of repressed sexual cultures, we're talking about the Victorians and their euphemisms for the female
vulvas,
private parts.
Yeah.
You remember any of them?
Yeah, I remember three of them. So I decided my bathroom needed some art.
Yeah.
So I painted some vulvas, and I, alongside them, have some calligraphy of Victorian names for vulvas, which include the venerable monosyllable Cecily Bum Trinket.
Oh God, I love that one. Yeah.
And my favorite one, aphrodisical tennis court.
Oh no, tennis court.
Yes.
Really?
It's a tennis court.
Okay.
It's a
nice
back and
forth. Yeah. Oh, no, and you kind of go. Oh, no. Okay. How did we end from animal sex? Okay, yeah.
I take full responsibility.
Yes.
I blame Alex.
Yes.
We all blame Alex for everything.
Always blame Alex.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That was us talking about various animals' mating habits and how we do it like they do on the Discovery Channel. Alex, you are pretty much our only non-enthusiast about animal mating habits here.
Yeah.
You kind of got like attacked on either. You had animal mating habits in stereo.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about the topic of conversation.
I got way more into animal sex than I thought I
would. Oh, yes!
No, seriously, my mind was blown several times.
Yeah.
It's just fascinating. Nature is fascinating, and there's just something, as you're saying, intrinsically interesting about this. You know, you can talk about their feeding habits, and that was really cool. Their mating habits, that's really cool. So yeah, this is so cool.
Do you have a favorite from today?
I do the anglerfish. I think it's just because again we're approaching sort of the alien.
Yes.
I mean, it's a biological phenomenon that is so far removed from our experiences of sex, mm-hmm. right? Being actually absorbed into the body of another.
That's what he looks like.
Yes.
That is
Sad parasite male.
Yeah.
Look,
wow.
Look at the size difference.
Wow, it's like 1% over less than the size of the female. Yeah. So yeah, I think that was probably my favorite, but they were all amazing. And I just want to say that in spite of your best attempts, I still like otters. I still like ducks. You cannot change that. I do know that they're problematic.
You could say
yeah,
at least.
But I choose to still. Just still like both otters and ducks.
Okay.
What animal are you gonna fuck up for me next? If you come after dogs, we can no longer be friends.
Oh, well, we could.
Yeah, we could.
But, yeah.
We could. We don't need to.
No.
All righty, Katie. So where should a person go learn more about animal sex?
So I will... I will share.
Please don't Google him.
If you do, Google would say search
yes,
turned off.
Yeah.
Risky click.
Yeah.
Risky click.
Yeah.
I will share all of my sources for all of the facts I have in the links. I will also share the series of videos made by Zay Frank called True Facts About, and then insert animal name here. He does general true facts about all of the animals, but inevitably at some point always talks about how they mate.
Awesome.
They're really funny, really, really great ways to learn about different animal behaviors in general. So, dear listeners, what did you think about me and Joe's various animal mating factoids for you? If you have any questions or if you know of an animal that we did not mention today,
yes,
I would love to hear about it. So both of us will be looking at the comments on the website and on Instagram and on YouTube, wherever they may be, to hear about some new animal mating habits you might have. So check out our Instagram at Electric Enthusiasm and tell us. We have a roundup from previous episodes because we had dinner together and I had a Danish Christmas dinner. My favorite
it
part.
It is today is May 24th.
Exactly.
And Christmas in Denmark is on December 24th, so mm-hmm. only 7 months away. So we thought we should.
Yeah. My absolute favorite part about it is that we didn't tell Joe what was happening.
No.
So she just walked in the room. We're like, Merry Christmas!
And I was like, it smells like Christmas. And then they were like, oh, Merry Christmas. And I was like, everybody's joking. And then I looked at who's like, are you making a Christmas dinner?
And we were not.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
So what do we have?
So we had the caramel potatoes. We had duck. I made the exception of my very lax vegetarianism to eat the duck tonight. The pickled red cabbage. The potato chips. Which were your reaction to the potato chips?
Weird.
Was hilarious.
It is, I should say for the listeners, it is regional.
Yes.
In some parts of Denmark, a Christmas dinner must include, I mean, we're talking plain old bog standard potato chips. Mm. And in other parts of the country, it would be super weird.
Yes.
I've been to the parts of the country where they do it. I actually like it a lot. And I included this one, but yours was a little.
I'm kind of into it.
Yeah, there you go.
Kind of into it.
There you go.
Yeah. It was a lot of potato. We had two different types of potato chips. I will say, though, the MVP on the table by far was the sauce, which was like a white gravy with brown coloring in it to make it brown, which was hilarious.
As a Danish specialty product, is basically the syrup and sauce coloring that we put in to make an otherwise bland sauce just dark brown.
But it tasted so good.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It was the MVP on the table. Like I never thought I would say this, but the gravy on the caramel potatoes was legit fire. I was not expecting that. I thought the caramel potatoes would be a little bit too much. They weren't. It wasn't a very sweet caramel. It was a nice bitter caramel. And it was so good. It was very good.
So glad you liked it.
So yeah, our roundup is that we talked about Christmas and now I ate it. And it was great. I'm so happy.
Yeah. And there was even a Christmas present.
There was! I got a Christmas present. And in fact, themed along the podcast because it was a nudie brains.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a mod painted with nudie brains. I will say that as a listener to the podcast, you probably noticed that Kay is easily excited. But getting that mug is the most excited I've seen her yet.
It was so cool. I was, one, wasn't expecting a present. Always loved
it. I wasn't expecting Christmas. So there
we go. Two, I love nudibranchs. They're so fucking cool.
They are.
And I love mugs. Who doesn't want a mug? Mugs are great.
Mugs are great.
Beautiful, yeah. Nudibranch mugs are the best.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, we do have one other roundup from a previous episode. Our last episode was the one on Ella Fitzgerald. And Katie knows a lot.
Apparently some, everything.
Some might say too much about Ella Fitzgerald.
No such thing, sir. No such thing.
And I got to benefit from a lot of that. I learned a lot about Ella Fitzgerald. And then we challenged the listeners to see if there was somebody out there who might know a fact about Ella that Katie didn't already know.
Yeah.
And not only was there, it was a Copenhagen-related fact.
What?
Yeah. So Martin Lastine, who is and swing and seizure in Copenhagen, it's fantastic, wrote to say that Ella actually lived in Copenhagen for 3 years.
No.
She had an apartment out in Klampenborg.
Really?
Yes. She lived there, used it as a base for her tours in Europe. She really enjoyed her time in Copenhagen, according to this newspaper article, especially because there was a lot less overt racism here at the time. She got a Danish lover.
Which was
apparently scandalously young at that age. This was lovely. She makes friends with an elderly female neighbor in a luxury apartment in Klampenborg and calls her Danish mom.
Aww.
Yeah. So apparently she had a really good time. She also, she was in discussions. Sorry.
To buy the jazz box.
Yeah. She was in discussions to buy more Mombasa.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, how appropriate though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Thank you, Martin. That was a great fact. You stumped Katie on that one.
Did not
well,
know that.
Well
great.
Done. And just to connect our two previous episodes, Lisa Nagel, the Danish journalist, and Ella Fitzgerald, I Googled a little bit, and I found that an episode of Danish jazz radio program where they had Lisa Nagel on as a guest.
Aww.
And she gets to pick the music. And she picks a lot of Danish jazz artists, Lena Thiesen, Sven Asmussen, but she also plays some Ella Fitzgerald and says that she really loved her music. Now, they were contemporaries in Copenhagen. Did they meet? Nobody knows.
Oh,
I have
no.
not been able to find anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But there was the story. It was a wonderful story. So Lisa Nagel's son works at MoMATRA as a sitting drummer for some of the musicians. He gets to play with all the famous musicians. And one day, Lisa Nagel comes home. And there's her young daughter sitting on the couch with a African-American gentleman. Turns out to be Oscar Peterson.
Ah! Oh, but can we just agree that Lisa and Ella, they must have met them?
Can we
just picture it?
Fan fiction.
Yes.
Yeah. Headcanon accepted.
Yeah.
Yes. So that was an Ella fact. Yay. And then a connection to the episode before that with Lisa Nagel.
Awesome.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay. I feel like if someone enjoyed this episode, they need to find the other one with you.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Obviously. Yes. That's the obvious place they have to go to.
The one on the marine animals. Yeah. Mm. Where we talk about nudibranchs.
Yes.
And otters.
Cool facts. Otters.
You learn about why otters are the worst.
Why otters are assholes.
Why otters are the assholes of the sea.
Yeah.
And
adorable little hand holding, stone holding, adorable little otters. Yeah. I think that's a very good episode to go to. I also think he did Nobel Prize because there was a lot of weird science here, like somebody constructing an actual physical apparatus to measure barnacle penises.
A fluffing device?
A fluffing device for barnacles. If you're into that kind of thing, the Ig Nobel Prize, which is this science award for weird science that makes you laugh.
Yes.
The episode on that is absolutely going to flip your boat.
I think those two are the ones to go for.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed sharing some of our enthusiasm in this episode. Please visit our website, electricenthusiasm.com, or find us on Instagram at electricenthusiasm to discover more episodes or to leave a comment.
And now, dear listener, go do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Right home.
Yes, all the way home.